Certainly appreciate you coming out and being with us today to study again from God's Word. Maybe when people would come and visit here that might not know much about the Bible or about the Lord's work, maybe they might find it strange that we use a lot of Scripture. Or there might be those that might find it strange sometimes that we don't have a organ or a piano or some instrument of music. But if people from truly different religions would come and visit us, whether it be Buddhist or Hindu or Muslim, the thing that they would be the most curious about would be the supper that we just took a moment ago. Tonight, this morning, I want to answer the question, why the Lord's Supper? And hopefully answer it in such a way that the children who are here this morning will be able to understand why the Lord's Supper. And 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23 and 24, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed," it says, "took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And there's something here that we try to connect between the two. The idea of taking the bread and the idea that this is my body. Now, it doesn't turn into the actual body of Jesus, as some religions teach. But we might ask the question, what we need the most. People are physically, they'll say things like, well, what we need the most is food and clothing and shelter. Those are things that we need the most, and physically those are things that we do need. But spiritually, what did we need the most? Well, we needed an accurate concept of God. It's one thing we needed. We needed the fulfillment of the old covenant. We needed a model of holiness. We needed an acceptable sacrifice for sin. We understand from Hebrews, we read that over and over again, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. We need a mediator, someone between God and man. And we need the hope of resurrection. That when we die, as was stated in the Bible, if a man dies, will he live again? We understand from passages like John 4 and in verse 24 that God is a spirit. And those that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So that's hard for me to connect with, because I can't see a spirit. So what was needed? Well, under an accurate concept of God, we needed a human body, because God is spirit. And it was difficult for us to understand. So therefore, there had to be a human body to come. Under fulfillment of the old covenant, again, there had to be a human body. Everyone agreed that they were going to keep the law perfectly, and they did not keep the law perfectly, and therefore it became a curse to them. But someone had to come along who was going to keep the law perfectly. A human body had to come to keep the law perfectly. An acceptable sacrifice for sin? Well, there had to be a human body. A mediator? Relationship between God and man? Again, there had to be a human body. A human body had to be raised from the dead permanently. And of course, a model for holiness. Be ye holy as I am holy. Well, how are we going to see that? Except God allowing us to see a human body. In Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 5, it says, therefore, when He, that being Jesus, came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. But He says, a body you have prepared for Me. John 1, in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh. The idea is that He entered into a body. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. But in verse 14, the Word became flesh. He entered into a body. And He says, dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This idea of the word dwelt, it means that He pitched His tent among us. How would you feel about living in a tent? A lot of people, they'll sell what they have here in America and they'll go to the Australian outback. And they'll say, well, this is the life I want to live. I want to live in a tent for a long time. And of course, it's not long until they're back in America again, because they don't want any part of that. It was cold this morning. How would you like to live in a tent? No electricity. No TV, no internet, no dishwasher, no washing machine, no gas or electric stove, no plumbing, no AC, no refrigerator, no telephone. Does that sound pretty good? You like to try that? To basically walk everywhere you go? I guess there was one time that he rode on a donkey. To walk everywhere you go, and then to be in that tent and have most people despise you. In this human body, he showed us God. In Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 9, Colossians 2 and in verse 9, Colossians 2 and in verse 9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. He told Thomas, if you've seen me, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He fulfilled the covenant in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 14. He says, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of the decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, he ended that covenant, he ended that agreement. He provided a model of holiness. In 1 Peter and in chapter 2 and in verse 21 and 22, 1 Peter 2, verse 21 and 22, it says, for since you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. He died as a sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 2, and in verses 14 and 15, Hebrews 2, and in verses 14 and 15, it says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And that he might free those who through the fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. He died as a sacrifice. We couldn't have a sacrifice as long as he was in a heavenly body. He had to have a human body. He serves as our mediator in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5. 1 Timothy 2 and in verse 5. It says, there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And his resurrection assures our resurrection. As he states over in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 15. And in verse 20 through 22, it says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, and by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. Now, I've gone through all this. First part of this, just for us to understand This is why Christians remember his body. This is my body. What about that little cup of juice that you drink? He had stated, 1 Corinthians 15, or chapter 11, verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Some people don't like to think about blood. I've had Christians before, different places, to tell me that that idea is just nauseating. I've heard of people to take their songbooks and go through the songbooks and try to remove every word that talks about blood. But we understand that blood can be precious. Different things precious to different people. John Lennon's blood-stained eyeglasses in a museum now. They were sold for about $20,000 years ago. But the idea of blood, it represents life. And shed blood represents death. We see in John 19, in verse 33 and 34, it says, and when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus represents his death for our sin. Anne Marie Murphy, she was the teacher in Sandy Hook, that shielded some of her students. She was shot to death. In a service held in Katona, New York, the teacher, Anne Marie Murphy, 52, who authorities believe helped shield some of her students from the rain of bullets, Roman Catholic Cardinal Timothy Dolan compared her to Jesus. Now, I think that's going to an extreme, but there were some similarities to where she gave her life. But as a parent, just think about this for a minute. As a parent, if you would have received one of those blood-stained shirts from her blood that landed on your child or grandchild, would you think that was very precious? I don't know if this name will mean much to many people in here. A lady by the name of Coberly Bull. But Coberly Bull is very precious to the people in Lawrenceburg over the past 2 weeks, because she's the one that called and got that state trooper to stop that man from going and maybe shooting up two schools. And she should be precious to us as well, because we have students that are members here that we're going to attend those schools that day. The blood of Jesus. What does it say? Well, in Matthew and in chapter 26 and verse 28, Matthew 26 and in verse 28, Matthew 26 and verse 28, it says, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which was poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." Well, it provides remission of sins. In Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 13, Ephesians 2 and in verse 13, it says in verse 13, "But now in Christ, you who were formerly afar off were brought near by the blood of Christ." Brings us near to God. He also says in Hebrews chapter 10, because of the blood of Christ, it gives us boldness. He says in chapter 10, verse 19, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus," when you partake of the Lord's Supper on Sunday morning, you think of the blood of Jesus, yes. But what did it do? It says, verse 20, "By a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, that we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." He says in chapter 13 and in verse 12, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate." Revelation chapter 1, the latter part of verse 5, it says, "To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." He redeems us in chapter 5 and in verse 9. "Worthy are you to take the book, break its seals, for you were slain, purchased for God with your blood, men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." In chapter 12 and in verse 11, "And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death." Peter calls it precious. He says, 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, "You're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." When you kids become Christians, start to partake of the Lord's Supper, you think every week that that blood is precious as you're partaking. No wonder Christians want to drink from it often. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The feast is not physical, but spiritual. He stated the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not communion with the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not communion of the body of Christ? And this feast is more heavenly than earthly. For as often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We sing a song sometimes. They sang a different version of it in the country when I was down there. I think here in our song books we might have two verses. In the country, as they sung it for a long time, it says, by Christ redeemed and Christ restored, we keep the memory adored and show the death of our dear Lord until he come. His body given in our stead is seen in this memorial bread, and so our feeble love is fed until he come. His fearful unknown agony, his lifeblood shed for us we see. The wine shall tell the mystery until he come. And thus that dark betrayal night, with the last advent we unite by one bright chain of loving right until he come. Who's allowed to partake this feast? Those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Those that are in Christ. And those who have been baptized into Christ. He says, Acts 22, verse 16, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We hope this elementary lesson today has been good for us all, especially for children to understand that there was needed a human body and the shedding of blood. We would encourage you that if you need to respond to the gospel in any way, come right now while together we stand and we sing.